Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you today, even though some of us might be a little tired. There was a young girl who was learning the Lord's Prayer, and as she was being coached by her dad, and every night they would say the prayer in unison just before he tucked her into the bed. Well, one evening the young girl decided that she wanted to go solo, and she came to the portion of the prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from emails." I don't think she's too far off track. Temptation is certainly a battle that we all deal with. A lot of people make light of it. One person said, "I generally avoid temptation unless I can't resist it." So what is temptation? Some try to compare temptation with that of being tested by God. Well, I want you to hear this. God does indeed test us at times. However, testing from God will never entice us to do evil. It will only strengthen us in our walk with Him. Temptation, on the other hand, is the enticement to sin. Listen to what James tells us. "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has been conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." So temptation, in the context of Scripture, is a confrontation with evil to ignore what God is telling us. Temptation will tell us to put ourselves ahead of God and ahead of His Word. Again, remember that temptation is not a sin. I've said that many times. Sin is following through on what temptation tries to tell us. Let's look again at Adam and Eve. They had this perfect relationship. All their needs were met. They were in perfect union with God. They had free will to choose, to follow or not to follow. But when they were tempted, they chose by free will to go in another direction. And at that point, they turned and walked away from God's fellowship. At that point, sin became a part of the human condition that we have inherited, separating us from God. It was also at that point that God began to chart a course for redemption. From the moment he told Satan, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, he will crush your head and you will bruise his heel," he was telling Satan that the Messiah is on his way. And here is where we come full circle. Man and woman became imperfect through sin. Jesus comes, God incarnate, in the form of man, a perfect man without sin. He is baptized, set apart as God's own. Then this amazing thing happens. It's important that we don't gloss over this. Jesus at some point in his life on earth, he wasn't just suddenly tempted at that one point in his life. We are told that he was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And when we read Mark's account, Jesus went on the offense. He was being led to a place to not only face the enemy, but to conquer him. Here's another important point. This is not a matter of seeing if Jesus would sin. This was a matter of proving that Jesus would not sin. So Jesus is in a state of praying and fasting. And then the temptation came from the very one that tempted the first couple. The irony here is that Adam and Eve were tempted to become like God. The temptation of Jesus was to bring him lower than God and to be less than a perfect human that he was. Jesus was tempted in several ways. He was tempted by food, because he was fasting. He was tempted with power, if he would just bow down and worship Satan. He was then tempted to test God by jumping off of a high place. We also notice in two of these temptations, Satan is asking Jesus a question. If you are the Son of God, jump. If you are the Son of God, turn these rocks into bread. He is trying to get Jesus to prove who he is by doing something that would pull him away from his call. Satan is offering false hope and distorting scriptures. Jesus, on the other hand, is assuring himself of who he is by the truth of scripture and resisting temptation. In every answer, he says, "It is written." In every answer, scripture, the word of God, is giving Jesus, the word made flesh, strength and truth. This was the first step in the ministry of Jesus to do something that mankind failed to do. The power to resist evil by staying on the course that he was on. He was clearing a path for all of us. And that path is to do something tremendous for you and me. And this is how I think this speaks to us today for this moment. We have to realize that we have inherited everything that has been given to us from the beginning of mankind. All of us are tempted in every way imagined to separate us from the truth that we have in Christ and the direction that he has for us. We start to recognize it in our youth. I remember, I suppose all of us remember seeing just how far we could push our parents when we were younger. Many times we are pushed to the limit and then we must make a choice out of our free will. When Adam and Eve took the bite of that fruit, they were telling God they can take charge of their own lives. And that the temptation, that's the temptation that we face every day. I can do it all on my own. I don't need God's guidance. I don't need God to provide me for any direction. I can do this part by myself. And that is what we have inherited. It is at the core of our sin nature. Our nature is to be a people who, instead of being totally the image of God and reflecting his character, to bring our, be our, become our own gods. Now, I know this sounds a little gloomy for the moment, but I think it's important that for all of us that we examine our lives. In a sense, that is what Lent is about, to remind us that we need to examine ourselves, not just in Lent, but every single day. It is important that we try to see that there is, if there's anything that is hindering our walk with God. Because I do have great news. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus has come into this world. He is tempted in every way that we are, yet did not sin. He conquered death by his resurrection and has given us the Holy Spirit so that we too can overcome temptation when it comes. When we invite Christ to come into our lives, we are allowing the Holy Spirit to come in and renew our spirit. The more we surrender those parts of our lives we hold on to, the more we become Christ-like. The inheritance of sin nature becomes less and less as we allow Christ to become more and more. As we allow ourselves to grow, we become transformed into the nature of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And then we need to trust him. When he says, "I have a work for you to do," we need to trust him. When he says, "I will walk you through this because this is my path for you," we need to trust him. That goes for us as individuals and as a parish as well, and as a body of Christ as a whole. Jesus had faith in the assurance of who he is, the mission that he was on. He not only had the anointing of the Holy Spirit on him, but he also had the very word of God to back him up. He is the Word made flesh. And that is exactly what we have. That is what he has given us. He takes each one of us and makes us into something wonderful and glorious. There's a spiritual battle for our very soul. And Jesus took that battle on himself and beat it. And so that we too can walk in that freedom that And we, as we say yes to Jesus, as Paul points out in Romans, he takes a life and gives it new life. He shapes and molds us. He gives us a path to walk, a path through which he desires to accomplish his will. And out of all that comes a new story. Out of all that comes new life. Out of all that comes a thing of beauty. Let me ask you, how important is your walk with the Lord? David reminds us in Psalm 19 just how precious it is. He says, it is more to be desired than gold, even much fine gold. When we read his word, when we pray, when we follow the direction that he gives us, he will guide us. So what do? We need to be spiritually awake, because temptation will come our way at the most unexpected times. The other day, our nephew, Seth Blake, Debbie's sister's son, was on tour with his band that he belongs to. And some of you may have seen this on the news as the video went viral this past week. But Seth and his fiance were driving between LA and Anaheim. And he pulled up he was on the freeway going 75, and he pulled up next to a Tesla car. Does everybody know what a Tesla is? It's an all-electric car. It has sensors on the front and back, and it even has autopilot in the car, but your hands still have to be on the wheel. Well, and that Seth pulled up, and this person had his hands on the wheel in the lower portion, but in going 75 miles an hour, but the guy was sleeping at the wheel of this car. His head was laid back, and he's had his arms like this on the steering wheel. And Seth told his fiance, take a picture, a video of this. And so he took the video, and then he put it on his Twitter account, and it went chaos, viral, throughout the internet. And LA News picked it up and interviewed Seth the other day. But my point is this. Our walk in life is not on autopilot, expecting life to get us from point A to point B while we're asleep at the wheel. God has a purpose for your life, and we need to be spiritually awake and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us as we pray, as we listen, as we watch what he wants us to do. There are all kinds of enticements around us, all kinds of temptations that might come our way to draw us away from that. If we're not careful, we can fall asleep at the wheel. He is our source of light and life. Let us rejoice in the fact that we have a Savior and a God who loves us so much that he was willing to become one of us. Let us rejoice in the fact that we don't have to succumb to temptations in life. Let us rejoice in knowing that God, through Christ, has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to sustain us, to strengthen us, and to keep us in his perfect will as we allow ourselves to be open to him. And let us rejoice that he has given us his word, written through the ages, that we too can be shored up by the truth that it reveals. So as we step into this new season of Lent, I want to encourage you to read his word, pray, seek after him with all of your heart. Jesus has conquered temptation, and as his spirit resides in us, so can we when it comes our way. Allow the Lord to strengthen you, to make that stand in the world around you, to be his voice, to be his eyes, to be his hands and feet as you carry the gospel into the world. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving spirit that you have given us, that we can walk and resist temptation when it comes, that we can stand firm on the truth that you have given us, that we are not on autopilot, we are being guided by you, and we want to hear you, we want to listen to you, we want to be guided by you. So, Father, we ask that you would strengthen us in your spirit as we call out to you, as we are guided by you. And we thank you, Father, for all that you have done for us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So guide us, Father. Give us your Spirit. Strengthen us in yourself, that we might stand firm on your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.